So this is a special one-off. Well, no, it's not. This is a... I'm playing with my walnuts. I've got to leave them alone because it's all clicking. I had to take out so many clicks from the last one.
To leave your nuts alone.
And I was just like, why am I doing this like a bloody horse in the background? So this is a special.
A special, woohoo!
I just got back from a very, very special place.
Yes.
In Margate, in the UK.
Yes.
James and I were invited to go along to Airfix HQ in Margate and talk with Dale, who is the brand manager at Airfix, and chat about model making, the podcast.
Airfix.
Stuff we do for charity, for Models for Heroes, all sorts of bits and pieces.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun. We had a free meal.
Oh, yes, we did. Very nice it was, too.
What did you have for dinner? What did you eat?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. I think I may have had the same as someone else.
Spicy panini.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the renowned sausage rolls you can get at the visitor center.
A big boy, apparently.
Yeah.
So now we got that out of the way. The real information. So yeah, we were invited for a chat and to go on their Sprue Talk, which is going to be out very soon.
Might be out already.
Yeah.
Whenever this drops, because it's so special, it's so unorganized, and we're not going to wing it at all, because we don't do that.
No.
Much.
On the way down there, I thought, oh, we could do some recording while we're there. Oh, yeah. Way too late to think about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, it wasn't about that. It was about going down there and just having a chat with Airfix and seeing what they're up to, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to get down there?
I had a bit of a busman's holiday. I decided that I wasn't going to drive to Airfix, which I could have done. It wouldn't have been that long a journey.
Mm-hmm.
I decided that I could go by railway and it would save me money. I left my home at 6 in the morning to get there for 10 o'clock. So it wasn't 4 hours, but it wasn't far off either.
You got there nice and early.
A train and a bus. The old-fashioned way.
Yeah. I drove. It took me 3 hours, 10 minutes, which was 10 minutes longer than I had planned. So I was a little late, but didn't matter. I took some models down there that had been made by Models for Heroes Beneficiaries.
Uh-huh.
So we could talk about that on the Sprue Talk YouTube show. What else did I bring down? I can't remember now.
You bought some gifts. You remember the gifts?
Gifts, yeah. It was special mugs. And I bought some Just Making Conversation stickers.
Yep.
Do you want to tell the story about the short fat bloke?
The funny part was, Malcolm received the email. I was asked, after I'd given his hand back after biting it off him. I said, yeah, no, of course, I'd love to go. And I went down there and I was very proud and invited. And, you know, aren't I Mr. Popular?
You are.
And, I went with a great big, on a cloud. I can honestly say I was on a cloud. And yeah. Then Malcolm decided it was a good time to tell me that in the invitation somewhere along the line, could he bring the short ball bloke? You can imagine blowing up a balloon and letting go of it. That's how my ego just went out the door. Yeah, it went. So I'll just be the short ball bloke. Nice.
No, that was the joke that we had after the fact. And he invited me down. And then he said also, oh, could you invite this guy? And he pointed to your picture, your cartoon picture in the sticker. And he couldn't remember your name.
Because I'm rememberable. That's why.
But do you know what? The power of marketing. He knew that you were short.
Yeah.
He knew that you were bald.
Absolutely.
You know? So what else do you need to know?
Yeah, that's it. That is all you need to know about me. Nothing more.
But no, they did want you there. I was so glad that you came with me. It was lovely.
Those that know me through the podcast or even in person will know that it tickled me that that's how it was described and it wasn't the name. So actually, Dale, if you are listening to this particular episode, don't hide your head. It's not a problem. I actually got a kick out of it, so that's fine.
Yeah. Well, they won't forget your name now, I tell you. Don't worry.
No, I know my place. Everyone loves Malcolm and the fat guy's there as well. Don't worry about it.
We had such a good time. I think we took 2 photos.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all.
I just realised what you've done to me. You meanie.
Oh, no. What do you mean?
You're going to make me use that picture, aren't you?
You've got to use it. What we got? I can use Photoshop and correct it if you want.
The art of taking pictures. No, that's not what I was thinking. Never mind.
Yeah, so crikey, where do we start? Well, so we're invited in and we had a tour, didn't we, of the old factory.
Because some people might not realise that several years ago, Airfix moved out of the original factory into a new premises. The site has actually all been sold, which I didn't realise that. The person that owns the site, who is a, I think Dale said he was a very keen model railway enthusiast.
Yeah, must be.
From what I remember, they spoke to them and said, could they come back to the site? Guy was more than happy to accommodate that. So that's great, to be honest. I think the building's dated.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's been in existence for a long time, but it's so good, actually, for Airfix to be within their own history. So I'm pleased they've gone back. I mean, it's a nice plush office and all that. Very nice. But it's good they're at their roots, literally at their roots.
Yeah. And then you've got Corgi, you've got Skeletrix there, Humborough there as well, all in the same row.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got the museum there and the visitor centre, all in the same place. You're right. It is good.
Dale didn't say this, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying it. I think, in a way, it goes back to the core values as well, being at that site, because they're very much about the community, very much about the hobby, and kudos to them, really. I mean, I don't know if that was part of the decision-making, but that all encompasses their values as a brand.
Yeah, I felt very comfortable and welcomed, and I thought it was a good atmosphere. It was a good family atmosphere, good welcoming, happy. Didn't feel like work, did it?
No one addressed me as a short one or anything like that, but everybody that went past all said hello. They were really friendly, really welcoming. Yeah, absolutely.
So we had a tour of the factory, big empty spaces, but it's been used for storage and things like that, and the storage of the tools that they use for the injection molding process. They still have a lot of tools. It's good to see that they have them. Oh, stuff from way back. Railway stuff from Hornby. And they had old figures that you can't get anymore. They had all sorts of different ships and aircraft and a couple of very rare ones I didn't even know they had. Was it the Lancer, B1B? What scale was that? 72nd?
72nd, yeah. And it was the mould was enormous.
It looked like a big V8 engine.
Yeah.
That sort of size, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Made of iron on a pallet. Not even on the rack because the bloody thing's too big. You know, you're talking tens of thousands of pounds. But it was amazing to see. Occasionally, they take them off the shelf and they redo them. What was really interesting is they showed us the inserts that you can put into the tools.
Mm.
So you can have different air scoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different versions and things can be made using different sections. So I suppose they would be separate sprues. Wouldn't they?
I don't know, but it was mind-blowing in showing the process in which it's used to make the sprues themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, you could spend a day, days actually. You could spend someone that was willing to give up their time and go through them and explain it all in so much depth. You could be there for weeks actually. They're just so interesting, so interesting. Mm.
Yeah, well, they're talking about the production of them is off in China and India. It's just easier that way to have the production in the UK. But they've got a lot of them here. That was really cool to see.
Just to stop and think for a second about, you know, the manufacturing in India and the molds are there, obviously, because they need them in the factory. But they'll also have other molds in which they're not currently using. Can you imagine the space that must take? I mean, what we saw was a very small percentage of the molds in reality, and that took up a reasonable amount of room in itself.
Yeah.
So the amount of molds, and again, like you alluded to, the thousands of pounds that are involved in a mold and the quantity of molds in which you must use for their catalogue is mind-blowing, totally mind-blowing.
Yeah, when you start to think of the actual nuts and bolts of what goes into making a model, and the years and the amount of money that goes into making a model is, you know, makes you start think maybe I shouldn't moan so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't say this to you at the time and I haven't since, but one of the things that I found really amazing about the molds was you could actually tell by the molds as to when they were produced, but just by looking at them.
Yeah.
And that's not down to rust or anything like that because they're not rusty. They are looked after and maintained. On a regular basis. But the bit that made me chuckle was they had on the side of the molds metal plates with the numbers, the serial numbers of what they were. And it reminded me of the little name plates that you get on the side of steam engines.
Yeah.
The love and attention that was given to them when they were produced that meant they had a nice enameled number on the side. And that was intriguing, actually. because to think that, because let's face it, as time goes by through the years, production ways of producing things change. And, you know, you think about the carpentry involved in a door, for example, how it's produced now is massively different to how it used to be produced.
Right, yeah,
yeah. And they're quite easy to notice those differences. Mm-hmm. And just that little nameplate, I just thought was a great touch.
Yeah.
And show just how proud they were when they made that mold.
That's true. Yeah, I hadn't thought that at all. That's lovely. And you were saying just about the amount of space you need and also the amount of extra weight you need to be able to hold these things on a rack. You know, the racks that they had were massively big, holding these pallets. And you can see some of the pallets were starting to bend as well with the weight of the thing.
Oh, they were struggling. They were. There were certainly some that were struggling.
Yeah. We spent quite a while in there, didn't we?
We did, yeah. I mean, Dal was not stingy with his time.
Nope.
And I think, if I'm honest, I think Dal would have loved to stay in there for a lot longer and talk about the molds, because you could quite clearly see the passion he had for the brand as well as, well, for the molds, because the molds are the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Effectively, aren't they?
That's so right.
It was just oozing passion.
So the other person that was there was Brooke,
yep.
who's the social media guru.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that one of her family members used to work there.
Mm.
So when she came for an interview, it was quite emotional for her, because it's a kind of, look where I am now, man.
Yeah.
So she understood the history and everything of it too. And then, so we were shown around that area. The other thing that we saw was what they call Olympic Alley, was it? Olympic Track or something?
Yes.
Something like that.
Olympic something, yes.
Yeah.
That was quite amusing, actually. So let me try and explain that and by describing what we mean by that. So we were ushered into a section which is used because they had a license to do some stuff for the Olympics that was in the UK. So as you go in the room, on the floor was a running track.
Yep.
Literally shop racks. And the idea being is that when they have a contract with someone, and they talk about space, they've got the ability to literally sit and design a space as to what it put on the shelves and how the best way to promote the brand and et cetera, which I thought was really fascinating, because I'd never, ever thought about that before.
Yeah.
The thought you go into, you know, let's say Hobbycraft or a company like that, that have an area in which they sell Airfix products. I mean, I'm aware of branded areas as I go around a supermarket, but to think that someone goes down there and actually gets some boxes and moves the boxes around and takes some pictures and say, right, you can achieve this or you could achieve that, and gives the options, I thought was just amazing, actually, that amount of effort was put into it.
Box sizes, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that you had to consider. If you're selling these things, you have to consider the size of the boxes, how many boxes you can fit on a shelf, the different sizes and what shelves you need. They were also talking about the packages that they can send off to for retail, where you can get one stack, 1 meter wide stack, and the stock they will send to be able to sold on that for that particular rack.
Yeah,
you know, but that was for all of the brands there, you know, not just for Airfix. So, yeah, no, that was really interesting.
As we were standing, we were being shown this area. Dal made the comment about the fact that it was made for the Olympics. Or did you notice the running track? There is a reason for it, blah, blah, blah. I was looking at the other side of the room, which had a pair of double doors. And in these doors had the design shape of the Olympic logo that was used. And as I'm looking at the windows, he's mentioned the word Olympics and both just went like that. And just like, totally got it. Yes. Do you know, I didn't really understand the running track at all. Didn't make any sense to me. But I'm looking out that window and I can see that's the logo off the bat.
Yeah, that's right. So through that door, was it Skeletrix?
Yep.
I love, we have never talked about Skeletrix.
We haven't.
I love Skeletrix. I love it so much, but I'm not a millionaire.
No.
And I don't have all the space you need. I don't have the money to buy, but good God, I wish I did, because the stuff that they come out with, and the clever way that they put the different types of cars together. It's just a fascinating world. Did you notice the prototypes they had as well for the different models and things that weren't coloured up or deckled or anything yet. That was interesting too. But they had all their ranges. They had all their older ranges, their newer ranges, and they had their all their little things set up as well. So you could spend a good day in there if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, and also, as Dale was explaining to us, they have other areas where they've got tracks set up for both Hornby, for Scale Electrics, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
Where things are tested. So there are test tracks and all that sort of stuff as well, which I totally appreciate and would have expected. We weren't allowed to see that, which is totally understandable.
So, yeah, as we were carrying on through, we got to the Hornby section. And I jokingly said to James, oh, you know, don't bother with this bit. Let's carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Did you remember the children's train set they had?
Yeah.
And I was looking at that. I was like, oh, yeah, children's train set. And I happened to notice.
No.
What?
I've got to stop you there. You weren't looking at it. You were playing with it. I had to drag you off. Don't touch. Did you not read the sign? Don't touch.
I looked at it initially. And then the red mist fell. I noticed that little remote control.
Oh, yes.
On the table. So I picked it up, you know, being inquisitive. And I was like, oh, it's got a forward and a back and a horn button and a light button. And I thought, no, it can't be. And I hit the button, and what bloody happened is the train starts going on a remote control. And then I hit the lights. Lights came on. I hit the horn.
Yeah.
It went.
How'd it go?
Or something like that. And then you can hit the button to make it sound like it's going fast. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, it was really good.
What was really awesome, Malcolm's standing there. We all know Malcolm's a tall lad. But he's standing there, and his face is the face of a five-year-old. When he pressed that button, he went, uh-huh. He's just like, oh, did it do what I think it did? And he pressed it again. Uh-huh. Oh, it did. Oh, I like this. Can I play more? No. Put it down. The thing that amazed me more than anything else, actually, the tracks were plastic.
Yeah.
So it's been designed in a way in which is completely child-friendly. I can tell you now as well. The other thing that Malcolm found out was that the carriages are magnetized.
That was clever.
Because he tried to fix it, but didn't, if you know what I mean. He didn't drop it on the floor, in fairness, but it was close.
It was. No, they're very clever. I really liked that. If I was so inclined, I would be considering that as a present for myself.
Yeah.
they also had other railway stuff there, locos and whatever you say, but yeah, they were brilliant. So in that section they had all the different brands of stuff they had with trains. So
yeah,
it was Coca-Cola, and they had Harry Potter train, and they had, I can't remember, they had loads of different train stuff, didn't they?
There was, yeah. The only thing that I felt a little disappointed about was that Hornby had brought out a train. The company in which I work for's livery on. And there was a picture on the wall, but there wasn't a physical one, which is a bit of a shame, because I would have loved to say to my colleagues at work, I've seen it and I've handled it and you haven't. One of my supervisors, he would have killed me. In fact, he will kill me when I tell him. But
right. So why wasn't it there? Is it not out yet?
No, it's due out. I believe it's due out this year. I know my supervisor has bought one.
Right.
On pre-order, but I don't think it's out until midsummer, maybe autumn. I'm not sure.
There was a lot of things in there that I noticed that, you know, hadn't been quite finished yet, still coming out. You know, they had the Tinder profile of CAD drawings instead of the actual picture of the thing, you know, dotted around on the shelves. And then we got to the FX bit, which is what we want to talk about.
Yes.
And I thought, well, because I don't know if I'm just that way inclined, because I like Airfix and I like modelling, but I thought that was the best bit.
Well, yeah, it obviously was, yes.
They had set out this corridor that kind of snaked around on itself, and it started off with shelves and shelves of the current stock, anything you can buy.
Current catalogue.
From the catalogue. Kicking off with 1/72. On the shelves, they had the boxes, and then in front of the boxes was the actual model built up. And it was amazing, just looking at the range of things they had. And they also had all their gift sets, all their starter sets, all their
quick
all
builds.
Of the different kits you can get in that scale. Yeah, yeah, everything. All the quick builds, yeah. It was lovely. It was really nicely displayed, and it was just fascinating to go through. I mean, Dale spent ages talking to us about all the different kits that there were, the history of some of them, the way that they're working with their class. Is it the classics?
Yeah, the classic range.
Unashamedly taking the old molds and remaking them as they exactly were, and putting the decals in there for the box art, and they've got the old art on the front.
The community does moan about Airfix from time to time, but I think it's amazing that they've owned it. They've said, "Well, we're gonna repop these boxes. That everything's gonna be basically the same." We're proud of that fact, and I think that's brilliant because it gives us the opportunity as modelers to pick up kits that we bought as children and remake them. And I think that's not only do I think that's a fascinating thing, but it's actually given me a little bit of inspiration as to some things in which I'd like to do. Maybe this year. Spencer Pollard actually is the person I'm thinking of, and uh-huh. He's actually done a series of builds where he's revisited some of the older kits. And I thought that was a clever idea at the time, but going and seeing all the kit range that's in the catalogue in that form has really made me understand why they've done it, but also the inspiration for doing it.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's inspired me to think, oh, well, actually, there's a few kits there that I did as a kid. I'd like to do those.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they made no attempt to change anything about the model kits, so they're still as difficult as they always were. You know, those memories will come flooding back once you start building those things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But that was really nice. They also said that they're not going to do it again.
No.
They said, that's it. They're out. They're done. They're not going to do them again. So if you want something, go and get it.
Because obviously so many units are being produced, and once they're sold, that's it. Something else will pop in its place.
What was also interesting, he was telling us how many units of different things that have been produced. And that number was way lower than I imagined it would.
But then on the other hand, you've got the American Black Widow. Pop that, then being asked by someone to produce a load more for a particular market, which they did, and they've all gone.
Yeah, it's the States, wasn't it?
American market. So, yeah, it's fantastic in itself. It's great to see that the market leading what they're doing.
And then we went up to the 48,
yeah,
which again was just vast, wasn't it? I just hadn't realised how many different types of kits they do.
Mm. Did you look at that range and think, I've made that one? I haven't made that one. Oh, I've only made a minute amount of their range.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I thought, well, I haven't done that one. I want to do that one. That looks great. There was ones in there I didn't even realise was out.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here.
All the boxes all lined up and all the models in front of them all lined up as well. It's quite special, really.
Mm.
So that was fascinating.
Dale also, he also asked me directly, what was I looking forward to from announcements of what was to come?
Mm.
Put me right on the spot, and I failed miserably because I just went blank. I'm not going to lie. I just went, I can't remember what you said you were going to announce. We talked about that as well for a little while. Obviously, yeah. Can't say anything about it.
So from 48, then it was a 135th range where you started to see a lot more armor and the range of the armor that they had. That was good too. I didn't realize the range was that vast.
Yeah.
20, 30 different types of tanks in a 135th.
It's a very, very welcome addition because obviously one of the things with Airfix is that they jumped from 172nd to 132, and 132 didn't really go with anything else. I think it was mainly, if I remember correctly from the history, was that the Scowls were in line with Hornby and Railways and all that sort of stuff, and the 132nd just happened to be that way. But the fact they brought the 135th into the range, for me personally, is something in which I've been dying for them to do for a long time, and as yet I have not got one on my of those in my armory to build, and I must sort that out because that's wrong.
Yeah, get a hold of one. And then they had a 124th Spitfire set there, you know, just hanging out.
Yeah, that was their announcement at the beginning of the year at Duxford. And oh my God, to sit there and look at it. And I'm not going to lie, there was a lot of dribbling involved and a lot of, how am I going to explain this when I buy this? Because I'm buying this. This is definitely on my list.
Gorgeous, beautiful, absolutely amazing. And it took my breath away, I've got to say, because they had the kits, didn't they? All built up and all opened up, all in grey, you know, primed. Then they had separately, there's a cockpit. Gosh.
Yeah, the detail in that cockpit is
beautiful.
second to none. I've not seen detail like that before in the flesh, so to speak. Just awesome. So looking forward to getting my hands on that. That is a must.
What was also interesting, we talked about our aftermarket and how aftermarket works.
Yes.
It always fascinated me. How in the hell does Edward? Who's Edward? Eddard. How does Eddard come up with their photo etch sets straight after their thing comes out? How what do? Do they get hold of it? Do they measure it? What how does it work? But I didn't realize that they have a deal with them and they share the information across.
Yeah.
So they can measure it all up, right? That was interesting. Not that you'd need it for that Spitfire, crikey. So after that section, what was next? Well, we went to Corgi first.
Oh, God, yeah, no, I forgot Corgi. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, no, we went to Corgi, looked at their range. Wow, they've got a big range as well, actually. So, you know, you had items there that were aimed at Harry Potter fans, at the Coca-Cola, at Fools and Horses, the London taxis. But then the other part to that as well was the airplanes.
Mm. The aviation collection, is it called?
I didn't realise they did that either. For the collection, especially of the aviation. Oh my God, they must have an enormous area to keep that collection.
Yes.
And display it, if that's what they do.
Yes.
You know, whether they buy it and put it safely somewhere for it to mature. I don't know, but you certainly want to display it. Oh, well, you wouldn't want to take it out of the box per se. You'd want to keep the value in it. And it's a totally different hobby from where we come from and our knowledge. And was fascinating, very much so.
They were lovely little things as well, weren't they?
Yeah, some were very little.
Yes, very big. They got a photograph of you with one of the Vulcans, haven't we?
A very nice picture as well it is. Well, the funny part to that picture was Malcolm says, "Oh, let me take a picture." I was like, no. I felt, and I will say this actually, Dal allowed us, if we wanted to take pictures of most of what we might like,
yeah,
and we were allowed to handle and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but I felt really ill at ease to handle stuff, to think that, you know, if I do anything wrong and drop this. This is really important, and I, do you know what I mean? So I felt under quite a lot of pressure, and I was given an item in the Corgi section,
yeah,
which was large, which was weighty,
yes.
And Malcolm said, "Oh, let me take a picture of you."
Well, Dale said, "Feel the weight of this."
You'll have to look at the picture. It will be in our media. It's the only picture of me in the world. Of everything looks great, and then the eyes just went wrong. And I wasn't pulling a face. I swear to God, I wasn't.
I didn't have a filter on.
No, nothing. And it just is amazing. It's a classic picture, undoubtedly.
Well, I think you were just super happy.
Well, I was.
You look rosy, beaming.
Yeah.
You look like you're in your elephant element.
Oh, yeah. I was on my elephant, definitely. it was an amazing, amazing moment and captured in such a lovely way.
So after Corgi, we had our little meeting.
Yeah.
And then we had our interview, which was really funny and fun and easy.
Yeah, it was great. It was good fun.
But I don't know how you felt, but I didn't feel nervous or anxious about that part at all.
No, I didn't. I wasn't anxious about it at all. There was no anxiety at all about the whole day, in fact, to be honest.
Okay.
The thing that crossed my mind as we were filming, I really wanted to say, do you know what? This is just like an episode of Just Making Conversation, because we were all relaxed. We were laughing. We were joking.
Yep.
It was great. It was really, really great.
What I liked about it is that I was sitting on the left and you were sitting on the right.
Well, hang on. Now, let's be honest. It wasn't you just happened to be sitting on the left. I was told,
yeah,
you're not sitting that side, you're over there in the corner.
You sit that side. Well, that matches, it matches the brand, doesn't it then?
I never thought of that.
You're always on that side and I'm always on this side, so it completely makes sense.
Yeah.
I felt very relaxed. I mean, I've spoken to Dale many times at different model shows. Obviously, I speak to you daily, I'd say. And
yeah,
having a chat and everything was great. What was funny, though, is obviously we're talking about stuff he's already kind of talked about all day. But so it was just kind of recounting that was good. And they asked us to bring in a kit, didn't they?
Yeah.
From the Hall of Fame or the Olympic run or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
To bring in. And I chose a quick build kit. because Models for Heroes use them a lot. You chose something very special.
I did, and it was a bit of a shock because Dale sort of said to me, just go out and pick something you like. Pick something that means something. You know, whatever you want, not a problem. I was a little bit like that child in a toy shop going, oh, I don't know, there's so much, I just want to grab everything, it's great.
Yeah.
He came out and rescued me because I was there for a while. But my choice was a new release that's coming out, that's been announced, that should be with us anytime soon, which is the K2 Ambulance. And I can't wait till it comes out. I really can't. It's one of those things, as I explained to the guys, over the last 6 years, probably every single show I've gone to, yeah, and every single time I've stood there, it's always in resin, and I've always stood there and gone, I can't justify that to myself. I can't do it. I can't. I've never pulled the pin on buying one.
Well, if you want it in 1/35th anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's the scale that I'm used to. That's the scale in which I like hobbying in. So, yeah, so I brought that in and popped that on the table. An enormous amount of glee in my face probably all the way through the interview because I kept looking at it going,
oh, look at that. Great, isn't it? It does look brilliant.
Looks amazing, Kit. Got to be honest.
It does. Shows wisely. Mm. But, yeah, they're all talking about the decal options that are coming out.
Yeah.
And then we had the interview, chat, chat, chat. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Hopefully they'll cut out all the swearing. Mess ups that we did.
It's funny, isn't it? When we were talking about we were feeling at ease. The only person in the room who didn't feel at ease was Dale.
Yes.
To be honest, I really don't know why. I could see the pressure in him. Mm. I hope we both helped to relax him. I think he'd come across that way.
We'll see how much stays in the edit.
Might be a short one.
Welcome to Sprue Talk. We've got James and Malcolm. Thank you very much for joining us. That's all we could use.
Oh, we were on our best behaviour, really, most of the time.
Do you want to be invited back one day, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'd love to go back.
I felt very, very special for being invited. I felt very special for having the entire day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spent on just showing off to us all the Airfix stuff and what goes on. Really, really good. And I felt so comfortable and delighted to be there. It's that home of British modelling, isn't it? Airfix. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't get any more modelling than the home of Airfix.
I implore you to go and visit their visitor centre. It's not in the centre of the UK at all. It's all the way out to the right-hand side. On the coast, because it is fascinating. With my Models for Heroes hat on, we are very thankful to Airfix for all the support that they're going to give us and have given us. But this is not a Models for Heroes podcast, is it? It's a Just Make a Conversation podcast.
They already have given a great deal of support, flying hours and all that sort of. I can only mirror what Malcolm's just said in that to be invited to the British home of model making as a guest is an enormous honour for me. And we were treated 100% VIP'd all day. And if I'm honest, my wife will attest to this, I didn't expect to be there that long. It was a full day. It was a very full day. And I'm very, very grateful to both Dale and Brooke for the time they gave us and also the support that they're offering in the future, even to the point where I'm sure Brooke won't mind me saying this, more than happy to help with her knowledge of social media, etc. Very knowledgeable lady, and yeah, it was amazing. Amazing time.
We'll look forward to Eddard and Revel and Hasegawa, their invites.
We have a diary open. Pop us a message. Just so you know, my name's James. You don't have to address me as the short, bald guy, but you're more than welcome to. It doesn't matter.
So thanks very much for listening. Take care, and we'll see you in the next podcast.
Won't be long. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
So, he says, Malcolm, you obviously make models. You look like you do. What does that mean? Welcome to Airfix. We're just going to verbally abuse you.